Good morning. How's everybody doing? Welcome to Central Baptist Church. I see a lot of familiar faces this morning. We would love to be able to just come together this morning and worship our Lord and Savior. I'm glad that we're here inside, outside, in the sanctuary, and even online. So if you're online, we would love for you to check in with us just by saying, hey, we're here. If you're not local, maybe you want to put where you're tuning in from. But just keep us up to date on who's watching, where they're watching from, and that kind of thing. If you've got any prayer requests or anything, maybe something hits you during the sermon and you want to make a note saying, you know, I feel like this, da-da-da, whatever. If you're online, feel free to type that stuff up. I'm obviously not manning the computer this week. But at least still feel free to interact with one another and that kind of thing on our live stream. But we are glad to be able to just come together this morning and worship. I'm going to pray, and then we will move on into our service. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this glorious day. We thank you for your love. We thank you that we were able to wake up this morning and just come to your house to worship you. Or maybe we're in our own home, God, but may we all join together at this time in worship. God, I just pray for all the needs that are on our hearts this morning. Whatever that need is, Lord, I just pray that you meet it the way that only you can. Lord, wherever we're watching from, if people are traveling, God, we just pray for safety. God, just be with us this morning. May your word be magnified. May you speak to our hearts. But God, most of all, may our hearts be turned to you in worship. We pray these things in your name. Amen.
One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men. My example is he. The word became flesh and the light shone among us. His glory revealed. Living he loved me. Buried, he carried my sin far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. One day they led him up Calvary's mountain. One day they nailed him to die on a tree. Suffering anguish, despised and rejected. Bearing our sins, my Redeemer is he. The hand that healed nations stretched out on a tree and took the nails for me. Living he loved me, dying he saved me. Buried he carried my sin far away. Rising he justified freely forever. One day the grave could conceal him no longer. One day the stone rolled away from the door. Then he arose over death he had conquered. Now is ascended my Lord evermore. Death could not hold him. The grave could not keep him from rising up. Jesus is mine. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sin far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day, glorious day, oh glorious day.
Thank you, Lynn. And it will be a very, very, very glorious day when we get to see Jesus. Go ahead and turn in your Bible to John chapter 13. We're going to be looking at verses 12 through 30 this morning. We're not going to go break down each individual verse, so don't be like, man, that's a lot to read this morning. We will read it all, but we're not going to be here for 4 hours. Maybe 3.5, but not four. Most people know by now that I have a new puppy in my home. His name is Smokey. He is named after the University of Tennessee mascot. He is a blue tick, red tick, hound dog mix, and he likes to get up early in the morning. You can almost set your watch by him, usually 4 o'clock. This morning he pulled a little different. He went 1:26, 3:11, 4:30, and about 5:15, and I was like, all right, something has to give. But we finally just went to sleep in the recliner, and he slept till my alarm went off. But he's just over 14 weeks old. He's very energetic. He has sharp teeth, sharp claws, and he doesn't know what personal space is. And so all that, you're like, oh, he's just going to talk about his puppy today. But maybe, no. I can set my clock by him just about. And so this week, as of Tuesday, I was going to preach through the whole book of Habakkuk. It's one of those books that not a lot of people turn to and say, hey, let's preach from Habakkuk. I thought 3 chapters, we can do the whole thing Sunday morning. And then by Tuesday afternoon, I was like, I don't think that's where we need to go. And so I spent the rest of Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday kind of in a cloud. I would read a passage and check out, and I'm just like, this is not working. I would try to do things to kind of give my brain a break, which for some people think that it's been on a break for a while now. But I had to do something, and it just wasn't coming to me. And by Thursday evening, I was super frustrated, starting to get a little angry with people. And then 4 o'clock Friday morning, Smokey wakes me up. I take him outside to go potty. I've learned that the wee hours of the morning mean that your puppy needs to go wee in the early hours of the morning. So that's where wee hours of the morning comes from. But when I lay back down, I always usually have trouble falling back asleep. So I'll get my phone out and I'll just start scrolling through Facebook or whatever just till I get bored with people's comments and finally fall asleep. Well, Friday morning, 4 o'clock, I was scrolling and I came across a post from my sister. It was something that she had shared. And it was a picture of someone with a tattoo down their left arm, and it said Judas 8:2, T-O-O, Judas 8:2, Judas 8 also. And so here is the story behind this tattoo. The guy that kind of wrote the blog that goes with it, his name's Nick Burleson, but this is what he said. He said, think for a second, Jesus knew. He goes into that room with his disciples. He knows he is going to be betrayed. He knows it is Judas who will turn against him. He knows that he has been sold out for a handful of silver, stabbed in the back by one he has poured his life into. Yet in that room, hours before the death of Jesus, Judas ate too. Jesus fed Judas also. Jesus prayed for Judas. Jesus washed Judas's feet. And then he goes on to say, I struggle to fathom that kind of love, a love that would feed the mouth that deceived you, a love that would wash the treasonous feet of the traitor, a love that could forgive even the vilest of betrayals, I honestly struggled to comprehend it. And then suddenly I realized that I'm Judas. And in that moment, I'm so thankful and altogether overwhelmed that Judas ate too. So a little background on the book of John. It was written approximately AD 70 to AD 30, or AD 30, AD 100. It was about a 30-year block of time that people assumed that it was written in. The author was anybody. John, yeah. And the way we figure this out is from, if you read it really closely, you can see the phrase, the disciple that Jesus loved, is used. And so you see all these little interesting details that point to John as the author. He wrote it more than likely with an evangelistic purpose. This letter's going to go out to Christian readers. It's going to motivate them to share the gospel with other people. But in chapter 13, we have Jesus in the upper room with the disciples. We know that in chapter 12, he made his triumphal entry into town. Everybody was like, yay, Jesus, and laying down palm trees, celebrating him. And by the time this time came around toward the end of the week, things had went a little sideways. And so Jesus and the disciples are in the upper room. He's just washed their feet. And the whole point of that was to say, you know what? You can't be greater than your master. You have to serve one another. And this is the way to serve, and that he would wash their feet. But also, right after he washes his feet, he said, I just want to let you know that one of you will betray me. And that's where we pick up in John 13, 12. Follow along with me as I read. When Jesus had washed their feet and put on his outer clothing, he reclined again and said to them, do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are speaking rightly, since that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you should do just as I've done for you. Truly I tell you, a servant is not greater than his master, and a messenger is not greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. I'm not speaking about all of you. I know those I have chosen. But the scripture must be fulfilled. The one who eats my bread has raised his heel against me. I am telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am he. Truly I tell you, whoever receives anyone I have sent receives me, and the one who receives me receives him who sent me. Verse 21. When Jesus had said this, he was troubled in his spirit, and he testified, truly I tell you, one of you will betray me. The disciples started looking around at one another, uncertain which one he was speaking about. One of his disciples, the one Jesus loved, was reclining close beside Jesus. Simon Peter motioned to him to find out who it was he was talking about. So he leaned against Jesus and asked him, Lord, who is it? Jesus replied, he's the one I give the piece of bread to after I have dipped it. When he had dipped the bread, he gave it to Judas, Simon Iscariot's son. After Judas ate the piece of bread, Satan entered him. Jesus told him, what you're doing, do quickly. None of those reclining at the table knew why he said this to him, since Judas kept the money bag. Some thought that Jesus was telling him, buy what we need for the festival, or that he should give something to the poor. After receiving the piece of bread, he immediately left, and it was night. So before we unpack kind of the points that I have today, let's summarize what's going on. We're in the upper room, Jesus is washing feet, teaching lessons, because that's what Jesus does. Every time he does something, there's usually a lesson behind it. And this time, they're gathered together for the Passover. They're supposed to be celebrating, having a good time. And then Jesus kind of turns the whole thing and takes this ominous mode and is like, one of you will betray me. And I can imagine it in my head, because that's what I do. I do a lot of stuff in here, and it gets kind of crazy. But I imagine Peter sitting there going, John, psst, Jesus loves you. John looks at Peter and goes, man, Jesus loves you too. He said, no, not like that. You're the disciple that Jesus loves. He goes, oh, I got you. Peter goes, maybe you can ask Jesus who's the person that's going to betray him. So John asks, and Jesus gives this answer. It's the one who I hand the bread to after I've dipped it. He doesn't come out and say, you know, it's Judas or you know, this guy, and he's pointing, and then everybody looks at him and goes, you know what? Before he can do this, we need to stop him. And I think that's why Jesus didn't put a name to the face. I think he thought, you know what? You know, he knows what Peter's going to do later in the garden when the soldiers are trying to arrest him. He draws a sword, cut off the dude's ear. Imagine what he's going to do to Judas just to stop the betrayal from happening. And so we have this, and then, you know, after Judas takes the bread from Jesus, it says that Satan entered him. And a lot of us, when we read the story of Judas, we think Satan was already in the dude. You know, when we read the story of Judas, it's this betrayer, and you know, we want to do probably what the disciples would have done to him. We want to stop it from happening because Judas is just a bad guy. But let me remind you today that we're no better than Judas. When Judas was created, he was created in the image of the Most High God. When you and I were created, we were created in the image of God. Jesus was going to die for Judas's sin the same way that he died for our sins. And there's a difference we'll talk about in a minute. And there's so much in these verses that, I just read 12 verses, 18 verses. And it could become a sermon series in itself, but that's not the point. The point is today that I want us to understand that in that room, Judas ate too. Jesus told Judas, to whatever you're going to do, go do it quickly. And Judas left, and it was nighttime. And none of the disciples got it. It says in verse 28. None of those reclining at the table knew why he said this to him. So what we know is that the other 11 disciples right there with Jesus and Judas missed the point. Jesus specifically said, whoever I hand the bread to after I've dipped it, that's the guy. And then Jesus says, whatever you're going to do, go do it quickly. And everybody's like, why did he say that to him? They didn't get it. And as soon as Judas left, it says it was what? Somebody. It was night. And when we think of night, we think of louder. Dark. Darkness is what we typically categorize sin as. And Jesus is typically categorized as the light that came to dispel the darkness. So it may not have been that it was just to say, hey, you know, Judas left at nighttime, but maybe it meant Judas left with a dark soul. And so my points, they're not in verse order. So don't be like, well, he's all over the place. I wrote this as it came to me, and I hope that you can feel the emotion that I felt when I read it and when I started writing. So the first point is that Judas leaves out in the night, in the darkness, verse 30. What we know that the disciples didn't know in that room is that Judas was the guy. We're able to read back. We're able to read the gospel. We've heard sermon after sermon about how Judas betrayed Jesus. And we develop this almost animosity toward Judas because he was just a bad guy, right? Let me remind you, we're no different than Judas. The evening had started celebratory fashion. It had shifted to more of a, wow, what's going on type heaviness. And so when Jesus sends Judas off, the disciples are like, well, he's got the money. Maybe he's going to go buy supplies. Maybe we need more bread. Maybe we need a couple fish. Maybe we need some baskets to put the leftovers in, because every time we have leftovers, we have way more than what we started with. Or maybe Judas was going off to do something good. We know that he's typically categorized as a fighter for the poor. How do we know that? Well, when Jesus' feet were being anointed with oil, Judas is like, what are you doing? You're wasting that. We could use that money and give it to the poor. Or maybe it was some kind of almsgiving that was part of Jewish piety. Whatever it was, they knew Judas had the money and he must be going off to do something that Jesus needed him to do, which we all know he was, because prophecy had to be fulfilled, Jesus had to be betrayed, and Jesus had to be crucified so that we could be forgiven of our sins. It was at this point that Judas had truly, when he took the bread and left, it was at that point that he joined the dark side. It says Satan entered him. And, you know, there's no way to really know if Satan, really took over his body. But we know that Satan then had complete dominion over the decisions that Judas was going to make. Secondly, what's the big deal about Jesus giving Judas a piece of bread? So when I started reading about this, what I found was when you're in Eastern culture, if you were to hand someone the piece of bread at the dinner table, you were recognizing them. You were recognizing them as your friend. You were recognizing them as someone you loved and cared about. You were making them the guest of honor at the table. So when we start to think about this whole thing, Jesus is making Judas, the guy who's going to betray him, the guest of honor at the table. Why would Jesus, knowing that what was going to happen, why would he put him as the guest of honor and not maybe John, the beloved disciple, or Peter, the rock? What I read, the conclusion I came to is, even to the point of betrayal, Jesus wanted Judas to know, I love you. I think you're special, you're one of mine, and I know what you're gonna do, but come on, man. Here it is. Here's my love, here's my grace, here's my forgiveness. Just choose me. And the similarity that we have in this instance is that no matter how bad we are, no matter what we've done, what we're doing, what we're mixed up with, our motivation, our heart's desires, whatever it is, whether we're living in the flesh or not, Jesus will always reach out and hand us the piece of bread so that we can eat too. He always says, I love you, I forgive you, please just choose me. John MacArthur says this, it was a final act of love toward Judas, even though Jesus knew Judas would betray him. How amazing is God's love that even to the point of betrayal, he still reaches out and says, I love you. And you know, a lot of us can sit back and say, well, does his love stop once we betray him? No, because Christ still went on to die for the forgiveness of sins. Beyond our wrong, beyond our sin, Jesus still says, I still love you. And God says, you can still have forgiveness in me. Next point, Judas wasn't chosen for his inability to flee temptation. Every disciple there had the same propensity to deny Christ and turn against him. Peter did it 3 times on down in the book of John. Peter, the rock, the guy that the church was going to be built on, the guy that got to walk on water, the guy that would cut off a dude's ear to save his Lord, still in a moment of weakness, stood in a crowd and 3 times before the rooster crowed said, I don't know this dude. How does denying Jesus publicly like that make you any better than the guy who took the money to say, look, I'm going to kiss him on the cheek. What y'all do next is on y'all. There's still betrayal when we deny Christ. When we choose sin over God, that's still our act of betrayal. It's us telling God, you know what, me doing what I want to do now, whether it aligns with your will or not, is what I want to do. So you can sit there and wait till I want to do what you want to do. Robbie Gallaty says, Jesus had to be betrayed, but Judas didn't have to do it. All of the disciples were potential betrayers of Christ, as are all of his disciples today. We are just as much of a potential to betray Jesus as Judas was. In verse 38, you see Jesus predicting Peter's denial. We're all just as capable of denying Christ and betraying him as Judas. This is the next point. Jesus chose Judas to be a disciple, even though he already knew that Judas would be the one to betray him. Long before time began, existed God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Before the world had form, and God knew everything. He knew that when he created Adam and Eve, his special people that he made in his image, that he would put a tree in the garden and they would choose the tree over obedience. He knew that when Judas was born and his mommy's holding him and they're like, what are we going to name him? Let's name him Judas. He knew that at that moment that guy would grow up and be the one to betray him. And he knew all this before time ever began. God knew there would have to be the ultimate atoning sacrifice for sin, which would be his son. He knew the story from start to finish before the book was ever written. And yet, when Jesus is calling the disciples, he still picks Judas. I think this is the beauty of the story of Judas, if there is such a beauty, is that even though while Judas was still going to be a sinner or betrayal, Christ would love and forgive him. And just as each of us walk our daily lives and we choose to do things that may not align with God's will, or we choose to tell God, you know, you sit right there while I go over here, he says, even though while you are still a sinner, Christ still died for you. That's the beauty of this story. And the beauty is that Jesus, up to the point of Judas walking out to betray him, still found him to be a friend, to offer him love and grace, and made him the guest of honor at the table because Judas ate too. For a lot of us, it would be easy to say, you know what, all right, if we know the betrayers in the room, who are we not going to feed? That guy. It would have been easy for Judas coming in the door of the upper room, Jesus said, you know what, maybe it's best you not hang here today because something bad's going to happen. But instead, he opens the door, he welcomes him in, and apparently Judas was sitting pretty close, for as quick as the handing off of the bread happened. So Judas wasn't down on the end, and Jesus took a moment, had to stand up because he was comfy and reclining, then he walked all the way down the table and finally found Judas and said, you know what, here's the bread. It says he dipped it, handed it to him, and then he said, you know what, whatever you got to do, go do quickly. This story of the Last Supper has been just cemented in history, even to the point of Leonardo da Vinci painting his rendition of the Last Supper. Do you know how big that painting is? I found this out this morning. I wanted to share it. It is 15 feet, 1 inch tall by 20 feet long. It's not a little piece of paper hanging on the wall. This was a big deal. 15 feet. Chances are it was painted to scale just about. Because I don't know how big of a table you have to put 12 guys around it, but it's become an icon of art history. It's become a story that just about everybody knows. Even though we're sinners, he still chooses us. Even though Judas was going to betray him, he still chose Judas. Judas sat near Jesus at the table. Judas got his feet washed like everybody else. Jesus prayed for Judas. Judas ate too, just like everybody else. Judas had a seat at the table. He was welcomed in. Judas was positioned in such a way he could have accepted the love and mercy of Jesus in that moment. And the way we relate to Judas is this. We are positioned in such a way that we can choose Jesus or not choose Jesus. And regardless of what we've done, when we've done it, how we did it, whatever, Jesus still welcomes us in the room. He still has a seat for us at the table. He still offers us the bread. He still lets us know that we're loved. And even when we choose to deny him or whatever it is we do, he still chose to die for us. We, however, have to choose him. Judas had the opportunity to choose Jesus. And instead, he walked out, he went and got his money, and then we know how the story unfolds from there on. The difference between Judas's betrayal and Peter's betrayal. Peter sought forgiveness. Peter sought restoration. Now we know that because of his decisions, it seems like Judas went a little crazy afterwards. We know he took the money back and threw it at him and said, you know, I have betrayed an innocent man. And you know what he was told? That's on you. And so after he left, in one passage it says that the Pharisees started picking up the money and said, well, we can't keep it here in the treasury. So they went and bought a field. And that field was called the Field of Blood. I think the John version says that Judas went and bought a field. And we know that Judas lost his mind. And Judas knew the depth of what he had done because he took things into his own hands. After seeing that they weren't going to call off the whole arrest Jesus execution thing, he went and hung himself. He knew the wrong that he had done. Yeah, Peter publicly denied Jesus 3 times. And Scripture tells us, deny me before man and I'll deny you before the Father. But later on in Scripture, we see that there's a restoration that happens between Jesus and Peter. And we can make that same choice to be restored, to accept the forgiveness and the love, to accept the honor seat at the table, to eat the bread. I think often we write ourselves off. I've been too bad, or I've done this, or maybe we're believers and we get to a point where we do something really stupid wrong and we're like, I can never go to church again. I just can't. There's no way God will ever forgive me of this. Well, that's not true. Or maybe you haven't ever accepted Christ and you're just not even going to try because you know the situation that you're in and you're like, I'm too far gone. I'm a lost cause. Listen to me. Judas was not chosen because he was a lost cause. He walked with Jesus through his ministry. He saw the miracles that Jesus did. Even at the table before he left to betray Jesus, Jesus said, look, I know what you're going to do, but I love you. I love you. But Judas made his choice. I think that Peter's trifecta of publicly denying Jesus is just as bad as the betrayal. I think that publicly denying Jesus is just as bad as turning him over to the authorities. But the difference is that Peter sought forgiveness. Here's the great news. Jesus still, to this day, offers us the bread at the table. Jesus still says, won't you eat too? He still offers us his love. He still offers us his friendship, his forgiveness. He's still reaching out so that we don't have to wind up like Judas. He wants us to be restored to him and forgiven like Peter was. He wants us to come seeking forgiveness and with repentant hearts. The key here is that the move is ours to make. Judas had a choice. Peter had a choice. We have a choice. We're either going to choose to live as Christ has called us to, or we're going to choose to live in disobedience. I've heard the whole gift of salvation thing explained as it's God holding out a gift just waiting for us to take it. And it really is. It's our move to make. The price has been paid, the victory's been won, but you have to make the choice. We've all betrayed Jesus. In a moment of weakness, in a moment of pride, whatever it was, we've all chose to do what we wanted to do versus what God was calling us to do. But will you choose love and friendship over walking out in darkness? Whether it's walking out at night or walking out with a dark soul, whatever it is, are you going to choose you or are you going to choose Christ? One last way that I think we can apply this to our lives today, not just a choose Jesus type thing, but how can we applicably live like Jesus in a world where there's so much hate and anger? And I know this is kind of a little bit different than the direction of the whole sermon, but I felt that it needed to be made because there's issues in our world where we look at betrayers, where we look at people who are doing things that we don't agree with, where we look at people who are different than us, and we write them off. Jesus easily could have done that to Judas. He could have wrote him off a long time ago, kicked him out, sent him down the road, whatever. But Jesus still chose love and friendship over, you know, being hateful. I see it on Facebook. I see it between different party affiliations. We see it on the TV between different races. But here's what Jesus said. I love everybody. And if we are going to follow the two greatest commandments of love God with all your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, and if we're going to love our neighbor as ourselves, we got to understand that we're taking up residence on this big globe with other people who don't think like us, who aren't like us, who don't follow Jesus, who may curse, who may look at pornography, who may, you know, have 17 wives, whatever it is. We live in a world where people are all the time sinning, and a lot of the times we look at them and say, you know what, you're not even allowed in the room. We don't want your kind here. But that's not what Jesus does. Jesus lets the betrayer into the room, puts him in a place of honor, and extends the hand of love and fellowship and forgiveness. We're living in a culture where anger, frustration, mistreatment, and all other kind of negative actions are dominating how we interact with other people. We see others as the bad guys or the enemies, and instead of offering bread and love, we tend to point them out as the betrayers and write them off or cast judgment upon them. That's not the Jesus way to do things. In Matthew 5, 43 through 45, this is what Jesus says. You've heard that it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven, for he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. He still treats everyone the same because he's God. He still offers the same love and forgiveness because he's God. So if we're going to live like Jesus, if we're going to love like Jesus, if we're going to love our neighbor, whether they're Jesus followers or not, we have to show them love. Similarly, in Luke 6:27-36, he says, but I say to you who listen, love your enemies, do what is good to those who hate you, bless those who persecute you, pray for those who mistreat you. If anyone hits you on the cheek, offer the other also, and if anyone takes your coat, don't hold back your shirt either. Give to everyone who asks you, and from someone who takes your things, don't ask for them back. Just as you want others to do for you, do the same for them. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. If you do what is good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. Verse 35, but love your enemies, do what is good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. Then your reward will be great, and you'll be children of the Most High God, for he is gracious to the ungrateful and evil. Be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. And in Romans 12:9, Paul says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Detest evil. Cling to what is good. Love one another deeply as brothers and sisters. Take the lead in honoring one another." Jesus honored Judas at the table by saying, "Take the bread." So often we just see the dark side of Judas that we miss the love of Jesus in the moment. I'd never heard about this concept of the bread being handed off as an act of love, as an act of friendship. I thought it was just Jesus' way of pointing a finger. But it wasn't. So the lesson that we should learn is that no matter who the person is, we should always be extending an invitation to friendship, mercy, grace, love, and most importantly, the way we live our lives with other people will give them an invitation to know who Jesus is. Whether they take it or not, that's on us. But we have to extend the bread. As Lynn comes to play and we entered the time of invitation, I want us all to consider the fact that even Judas ate too. He got to be at the Lord's table. He had a front row seat to Jesus' ministry, and he chose which path he would take. We are all offered the same thing: Christ's love, forgiveness, friendship, etc., but we must choose him. I can't sit here and point a finger at you and go, "You know what? You need Jesus. Come pray right now. You need Jesus." We all need Jesus. And just like every disciple was capable of betrayal, we're all capable of betraying Jesus. Whether we're believers or non-believers, the betrayal still happens. The rejection still happens. And the only way to fix it is to seek forgiveness in repentance. And we can't do that if we continue to walk out the door into the night. Maybe you've chosen Jesus, but your life has become more about you, and as a result, you've kind of turned away from him. That's just like Peter in the midst of the people going, "I don't know the guy." Maybe you've just not had enough information to make a good, educated decision on whether or not this Jesus thing is right for you. How do you get information? You ask questions. So if we're seeking information, let's be free to ask questions. But as people with the answer, let's not be quick to point a finger and tell people how bad they are. Let's try to get them an answer. Maybe darkness has just overwhelmed you and the light just seems too far off. Don't buy the lie, because even in the moments up to Judas's betrayal, Jesus was still reaching out with love. And even today, there's some of us here just kind of questioning things. And I want you to know that there's forgiveness, and there's love, and there's hope, and there's mercy, and there's grace, and it's all at the foot of the cross that Jesus died on because Judas betrayed him. But you can't grab a hold of that love and forgiveness if you're not reaching toward Jesus and accepting it. His love for us is unchanging. His love for us is non-circumstantial. And it's for anyone and everyone who seek him. All we have to do is accept it. So whatever your decision is today, don't walk off into the darkness. But now is the time to eat too. So we're going to have a time, Lynn's going to sing, and whatever decision it is you need to make, if you're online and you're like, "I'm not typing this out online, I need to contact the church," call us this week, send us an email, send us a private message, whatever it is. You know, we're going to protect your anonymity if that's what you want. But if you're looking for answers, don't walk away not asking. Let us help you. Let us hold your hand and walk with you. Let us all sit at the table together. So whatever you got to do during this time, I'll be up here if you need to pray. Come up here and I'll pray with you. Maybe you're like, I just don't need the extra steps today. I'm going to stay in my seat and I'm going to pray right here. That's fine. But whatever you need to do, do it, and don't walk out into the night. Hopefully, as we're leaving today, we're right with the Lord. Hopefully, whatever it is that maybe's been burdening you or holding you back from just really seeking Him, that you've chosen Him over it. I'm praying for you all. I love you all. And I hope we can all understand that Jesus hasn't written us off. He hasn't told us we're not allowed here anymore. And honestly, I don't think He ever will. Unless that day comes when He returns and we still choose to walk out the door into the night and reject Him. I'm going to pray, and then I got a couple announcements. Remember that our offering boxes are posted by the doors outside over in the sanctuary. I think you can put it in the offering plate. If you're watching online, you can go to our website, www.oakridgecbc.org, and you can go to the giving tab and give online. If you're trying to get in touch with us, you can find all of our contact information, our office hours, everything there, and reach out to us if you need us. And I'll bless the offering and just drop it out as you go. One announcement, I'll just do it before I pray. Awana leaders meeting today at 3 o'clock. If you are an Awana's leader, there is a meeting today at 3 o'clock. Awana's kicking off October 4th. So I think we're gonna have people here. There's gonna be an online stuff. There's a couple videos on the Facebook page from Tony. If you need information about how things are gonna work, that kind of stuff, go to the Facebook page and check out those videos from him. But with nothing else, I'll pray. There will be youth tonight. So we'll meet in the youth room at 6:30. So youth, be there. It's our Sunday fun day. I'll probably text out something after a while to figure out if we're going to eat or not and that kind of thing. So usually it's our fellowship day. But let's pray and we'll be dismissed. God, I thank you that every one of us have the opportunity to sit at your table. I thank you that despite knowing what we've done, what we are currently doing or thinking, and what we will do in the future, you still offer us your love and forgiveness. God, may we be obedient in seeking restoration with you, asking for forgiveness and changing the ways of our hearts and minds so that we walk with you and not out into the darkness. God, whatever needs are on our heart, I just pray, Lord, that you just wrap your arms around those and answer those according to your will. We pray for those who are with us today that you will just bless them wherever they are. God, help us to seek and do your will. Help us to live a life that glorifies you. May our lives be lived in worship. May we extend the bread of love and forgiveness and honor to all of those that we come in contact with so that we can tell them how much you love them and want to be a part of their lives. God, we pray for the offering that we'll receive today, Lord, that you just use it to do your work through this church and through the ministries. May it be used in such a way that your kingdom is expanded and that you are glorified. God, and for all of us here as we leave today, may our hearts be right with you and may we seek to live for you and bring us back together next time. We love you and praise you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.